You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, Hmong agricultural expertise is helping a Wisconsin professor develop the first ever commercial rice crop here in Wisconsin.
First, a federal judge issued an injunction today that requires Wisconsin to cut back on harsh disciplinary practices in youth prisons. The same judge decided last month that the use of solitary confinement and pepper spray at Lincoln Hill School for Boys and Copper Lake School for Girls is unconstitutional.
The youth prisons are located north of Wausau and have been under FBI investigation for the last couple years for abuse and child neglect. This year, the troubled facilities became the center of a lawsuit filed against the state by the ACLU of Wisconsin and the Juvenile Law Center.
Marsha Levick is deputy director and chief counsel of the Juvenile Law Center, one of the groups that filed the lawsuit on behalf of youth inmates. Marsha, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
So what was your reaction to this judge's decision to issue an injunction today?
Our reaction was very positive. This is an order that was, much of it was agreed upon with the defendants. It was an effort to really put in writing the findings of unconstitutionality that Judge Peterson essentially issued from the bench 2 weeks ago. And it sets really quite substantial limits and I think lays the platform for additional improvements at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lakes, particularly with respect to the use of solitary confinement, mechanical restraints, and pepper spray.
Now, the Department of Corrections had issued a report on changes coming up. I think that was Friday that came out. And again, that was in response to the judge's order. What were some of the key changes that they had put out there?
Well, I think it wasn't so much that they put out changes. What they did was we filed a joint order on Friday afternoon that reflected our effort to set an initial array of parameters to the conditions at Lincoln Hills that were found to be unconstitutional. So the limitations that are set forth in the judge's order require really stark reductions in the use of solitary confinement, in particular with respect to the circumstances under which children can be placed in solitary in terms of limiting it to instances where there is really physical harm involved or physical violence, working mostly to eliminate it with respect to things that are really just rule violations within the facility, curbing substantially the use of pepper spray, which has been an extremely abusive and, of course, harmful practice at these two facilities, drastically limiting the use of mechanical restraints, which have really been almost the default position for children in solitary confinement at these facilities. So as I said, this is really laying the groundwork for what we hope will be a final order, of course, of relief in these cases, but setting forth very substantial limitations and also requiring that these changes be put in place pretty quickly.
That's been a concern, that if there are major changes, it would take time to train personnel at the youth incarceration facilities. What kind of timeline are we looking at for these changes?
Well, a number of the changes have to go into effect almost immediately, July 21st. There are other deadlines set at August 15th, and then there are a couple that reach out to September 30th. I think that we recognize that the judge was trying to balance the very significant harms that the children are experiencing there every day in these facilities with the realization that there's a culture in these two facilities and staff who work there that have not seen themselves in a rehabilitative and treatment relationship vis-a-vis the children there. And I think the judge is trying to allow for the opportunity for the appropriate kinds of training, supports, and resources to be established at these two facilities. But at the same time, by setting some very tight timelines over the next couple of weeks and within the next month, ensuring that some of the most egregious harms immediately be put to rest.
I'm talking to Marsha Levick from the Juvenile Law Center about changes in the works for the state's controversial juvenile corrections facilities, Lincoln Hills School for Boys and Copper Lake School for Girls. Let's look a little bit at some of the conditions that led to this lawsuit and these changes, Marsha. Starting with solitary confinement, how was solitary confinement used?
Excessively. Just, you know, almost 20% of the population in these two facilities on any given day was in solitary confinement. Youth were locked in their cells often 23, sometimes 24 hours a day, denied access to programming, denied any real opportunity to have educational programming provided to them, lacked mental health treatment, often had progress that they may have been making in treatment programs in the facility essentially halted and placed in a position of having to start over because of the solitary. So with respect to those kinds of conditions, this order requires that there be no breaks in that kind of treatment and therapy that is provided in these facilities, limitations on the number of days, a significant increase in the opportunities that youth who will still be placed in solitary have with respect to opportunities for social interaction, for educational programming, for physical exercise, for to ensure that they meet with mental health counselors in the facility every day. So it's quite a different, much more humane, far less punitive, far less barbaric, frankly, atmosphere that we are trying to create there.
There is still, though, the possibility of solitary confinement, even under these new orders. Is that appropriate, do you think?
We think not, and certainly our goal in the litigation is to seek an end to solitary. We think it is a very inhumane way to treat children, but this is, as it is described, it's a preliminary injunction. It is the first step in this litigation to begin to put very substantial curbs on the treatment there, and recognizing that this is a facility, unfortunately, in your lead, there was certainly acknowledgement of the many years that these facilities have been under investigation for a variety of abusive practices toward children. There needs to be a culture change there. There needs to be training and significantly greater support and resources put into that facility. And this is a first step. It's a very big step, but of course we recognize this is a first step.
Now, this has been a really dramatic situation. You had one State Department, the Department of Justice, in effect raiding another department's facility, the Department of Corrections, an FBI investigation. Has there been any kind of culture change in the years that this has been going on?
Well, I think that's a great question. And frankly, today, it's hard to say. I think that the facility administrators themselves certainly claim that they are working with outside experts to assist them in rethinking how they are running these correction facilities. They are endeavoring to put new training and new kinds of supports in place. I think the children who are there every day are suffering, and they continue to suffer under the conditions in which they are being held. So there may be some changes going on, but I'm not sure they're being felt at the level of the children, and that's what we're concerned about.
Are we seeing more transparency? One issue was that a resident there, an inmate, might be injured and their parents not find out about it, that kind of thing. Are we at least understanding more what's going on there?
I think we have a lot of insight into what's going on there, and of course it's all quite disturbing. We certainly hope through this order itself, as well as the continuing steps in the litigation, to gain a great deal more transparency, to obviously gain much more kind of in-time reporting about what is happening to children there, how the facility is changing its practices and altering the conditions. You know, the goal here is to create a rehabilitative, treatment-centered environment that can help kids and enable them to return to their communities. As these changes become institutionalized within these facilities, that kind of concern about the transparency hopefully will be disclosing what has become a very humane facility rather than one that right now looks anything but that.
And briefly on staffing, there were complaints from employees about low morale, overwork, not enough people. Have we seen staffing changes that might help solve some of these problems?
I think not sufficient, and I think that's certainly one of the considerations that we see reflected in the judge's order. The judge has given the facility about 10 weeks to the end of September to develop both training programs, put training programs in place, to develop new staffing patterns, which was one of the concerns that the defendants raised to ensure that they can provide the kinds of services and opportunities that need to be provided. So, you know, I think we're still in a wait-and-see mode. I think the judge's ruling 2 weeks ago was just an enormous step forward and an important statement about the unconstitutionality of the conditions there. This order today is the next step in a process that we hope will lead to really a transformation that has been long in coming to these two facilities.
Marcia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Marcia Levick with the Juvenile Law Center. She joined us with thoughts on some of the proposed changes to disciplinary practices at the Lincoln Hills Youth Corrections Facility. You can tune into the Joy Cardin Show tomorrow morning after 7 when Joy is joined by State Senator Lena Taylor of Milwaukee and a representative from the ACLU.